Hi, my name is Beth Villafranca, and my favorite thing is true crime podcasts.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. It is Sunday, July 18th. Earlier this week, I talked to Beth Villafranca. She is one of many interviews coming up of people I know through Doughboys. Essentially, this podcast is at risk of becoming a podcast where I solely interview Doughboys fans about things they love, but not about the Doughboys. So why not? Beth and I talk about true crime podcasts. We talk about musicals, Hamilton, traveling, internet friends. It's a very fun conversation. Somehow we are middle of July. The summer is just racing by. It's hard to believe. I've got a lot of interviews coming up. I'm really excited. I got people really dug that candy episode with Jocelyn last week, and she was over last night for a fire pit, and she was like, there's so much candy we didn't even talk about. So there might be a candy part two, or maybe we'll start like a little mini series about candy and snacks and food. I don't know, just something lighthearted and kind of different. This week I have continued. I've been doing all the tests for just so I could get my cancer treatment set up. And so that meant a biopsy, an MRI, a genetics test, meeting with a plastic surgeon. Got another plastic surgeon consult next week. A bone scan in a few weeks. So however fast I thought this was going to move, I was very wrong. It's a lot of research to do. It's a lot of doctors to meet with, a lot of time wandering around in gowns that don't fit my body, and being very vocal about that I think that doctors' offices that work with human beings should have gowns in various sizes. Because at Northwestern, at the plastic surgeon, at the biopsy, like, they just didn't have gowns that wrapped around my whole body. They did in the MRI department. And by the time I got there, I was so frustrated because I'd worn gowns in at least four different offices that didn't fit. And when I asked the woman who was running my MRI if she would have a gown that fit me, she was offended that I would ask because she couldn't imagine a department in the hospital not having appropriate hospital clothing for people to wear. So she was like, you are gonna swim in it. And I did. It was like wearing a curtain, but it was fantastic. It was nice to have a hospital gown that actually fit. So that's kind of all that's going on with me, is starting this journey and enjoying the summer. I've got to get some air in my bike tires and get out there and ride while the weather is good and while I'm still allowed major physical activity. And that's all I got. If you are somewhere where there are high unvaccination rates, I hope that you are continuing to wear your mask, because this Delta variant is pretty moving pretty fast. So, you know, go get your deferred maintenance, go see your doctor, do your checkups, get your mammograms, and wear your mask when it is appropriate to do so. Other than that, have a good week and keep enjoying your favorite things.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. This week, I am continuing my tour of the Doughboys fan community, and I am so pleased to have Beth Villafranca with me tonight. Beth is an occupational therapist, a mom. She lives in southeastern Massachusetts, and we know each other from the Doughscord. Beth, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Me too.
It is what day is it? It's a Tuesday. Tuesday in July. We've had the weather in Chicago has been strangely cool. So in my head, I was like, well, it's September, but it's not. It's middle of July.
Yeah, it's been weird here too. We've had like super, super hot weather and like super rain and humidity and grossness. And we're currently in a humid stretch, which is gross. Yeah.
So I mentioned we know each other through the Doughscord, which is the Doughboys Discord channel. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how did you find the Doughboys? Like, how did they become a part of your mix?
Well, I've actually, I got into them at such a late time. Like, they've been, you know, doing this for such a long time. So over the years that they've been podcasting, I've tried here and there to listen to an episode, and it just never stuck for me for some reason. Mm-hmm. I could never do it. So recently, like about, I can't remember, maybe about a year or so ago, I just started like, let's do it again. Let's take some fun episodes. And then I just got hooked from there. And then I was like, okay, now I must know everything about the Doughboys. Now and then I became obsessed and the mm-hmm. whole, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So now I'm just a big fan, like, you know, 8 years too late.
Yeah. I felt like I had like two doors that opened for me. One was my beloved Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, I love him too.
We have How Did This Get Made in common as well. Mm-hmm. So he was on his first episode came out when I still will listen to like almost any podcast he guests on. So I listened to it and then I tried to listen to some other episodes and I was like, I don't get it. And then I went to the Chicago live show of Why Won't You Date Me? Mm-hmm. And it was Nicole Byer and it was Gabrus, Mitch, and Nick.
Oh, wow.
After they had done a power hour for High and Mighty.
Oh, my God. That must have been awesome.
It was, the energy was off the hook. And then I went back and I was like, oh, wait, these guys were all on Why Won't You Date Me early in the run. And they had a fun energy. Let me try again. And then I, again, like you, was.
Right. The magic like, finally hits you.
Mm-hmm. And I've had, I the one like big live show they did was on my birthday. And a neighbor came to watch it with me. And he was like, I thought I knew you. And I don't understand what's happening here and how you like it.
You're like, you know,
yeah.
You either get it or you don't.
Yeah. So southeastern Massachusetts, is that near Quincy?
Kind of. It's about an hour south.
Okay.
We're kind of near the Cape. So we're down on that lower side. And then, yeah, it's about an hour to Boston, hour to Quincy area.
Nice.
Not too far.
It's the East Coast is, I'm a Midwesterner. I live in Chicago. And the only time I didn't live in the Midwest, I lived in Colorado. So the East Coast to me is wild because you can get through so many states in so little time.
Right. Yep. It's like 3 hours to New York and you get through like, you know, Connecticut, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. You know, you hit about four along the way.
It's amazing. What are the sorts of things that you and your family have planned for the summer?
We're going to Hershey Park in August. We have a trip planned out there, so that'll be fun. I went once when I was a kid, but they didn't have like the big park like they did, like they do nowadays. I can't even remember what it was like. I do remember the chocolate, the most important part. Mm-hmm. I remember eating all the chocolate. But yeah, we're going to do that. And then just little weekend things here and there, like just day things.
Yeah.
But nothing crazy.
Yeah. It's nice to have, it is one of the nice things about the area you live in that there's a lot available.
Right. That is true. You can go to the beach, you can go up to New Hampshire, you can, you know, go to the city. There are places you can within driving distance, which is good.
And if the Doughboys were going to do a live show in your town or in one of the towns near you, what restaurant do you wish they would cover?
Oh, goodness. Good question.
Because their live shows are starting to get leaked by Ticketmaster. Did you see that?
Yes, yes, yes.
And by the time this is published, they'll be available to the general public.
Yes, I'm very excited to buy to get my tickets for the Boston show. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna aim for it. Yeah.
Yes, that would be so cool if people could fly out and have a party. That'd be great.
So let's say it's the Boston show, and they were willing to drive out to your area and get like a local fave.
Okay, so the best restaurant near us is a place called Turks, which is a seafood restaurant.
Okay.
And has the best crab cakes I've ever had in my life, and probably the best salmon that I've had in my life. And that's right in our little town. So, and we have a very small little town.
Yeah.
So I would say Turks seafood.
Nice.
And if anyone's listening in the Massachusetts area, check out Turks in Mattapoisett. It is wonderful.
That sounds so good.
It's delicious. It's just like a little, you know, little local, but really, really good. It's been there for years and years and years. The chefs are wonderful.
Yeah.
It's, you know, all locally caught fish.
It's nice. Yeah. You said Turks, and I was not expecting you to say best crab cakes. It took a left turn, and I'm here for it.
Well, I wish it was Mediterranean, but there's a sad lack of diverse cuisines here. You have to go to Boston or Providence to get any kind of yummy food.
Yeah.
But we have a couple Indian restaurants, which are good, and a couple Thai places, but you're not getting much other than that around this general area.
My nephew is living with me right for the summer. And the other day we both ordered Thai food. We both ordered Thai food from different Thai restaurants because there are four Thai restaurants within like two blocks in either direction of my house in Chicago.
That's the dream.
Spoiled. We're spoiled for riches. That is the dream. Yeah.
I used to live in Berkeley, California, and where we lived, it was like maybe a mile from the campus, the Berkeley campus. So we would leave our house each night and we'd be like, what are we going to eat tonight? Yeah. And we would just go a different street and pick a different kind of food. It was so amazing. I miss the food.
That's so nice.
It's nice when you can go out your door and walk to yummy food.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I'm so happy to see like what restaurants survived.
Yeah.
COVID.
Right.
So we are here tonight to talk about one of your favorite things. And why don't you tell me what that is?
So I am a big true crime fan, true crime podcasts and podcasts in general, but specifically true crime. So I've been kind of on a tangent for those for the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, I would say. Whenever Serial came out, I don't remember that was, but that was like the first one, I think.
Yeah. I remember what hotel I was in Tel Aviv, trying to listen to Serial with terrible jet lag.
Oh, wow.
So I remember it did not help me with my jet lag because was such the host had such a soothing voice that I just was out cold. So I tried Serial. I know it's an outstanding podcast series. And I should try it now that I'm not jet lagged. I'm over my jet lag now.
Did you listen to the whole thing back then or just a couple episodes?
I think it played through the afternoon and evening while I just slept. And I was like, well, whoops. And then I just didn't, I hadn't quite figured out like podcast apps yet. And maybe I had, I might have had it on an iPod. You know, I hadn't figured out podcast phone, earphones. Like, I hadn't really figured it out yet. However it was, I thought I figured it out. Jet lag and Tel Aviv heat, it was not a fight I was going to win.
That's funny. It's so funny. Like, you remember where you are when you listen to certain things. Like, I work in people's homes, so I'm on the road, which is why I listen to so many podcasts, because I'm just on the road driving around all day. So it's just kind of, I don't remember the last time I listened to music in the car, which is weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Serial is the one that got you interested in true crime podcasts.
Yes.
How about before we get into like how you found them, what is your true crime podcast weekly listen list look like today?
Oh, let's see. Right now we have To Live and Die in LA. That is going, that drops, I think, on Thursdays, if I remember correctly. Let's see. I wrote down my, I actually anticipated that you might ask me this question, so I wrote them down. So I'm doing To Live and Die in LA. That's really the only one that I have actually that's like current right now with the new story. Oh, and the Piketon Massacre. That is the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So those two are current. And I also listen to True Crime and Cocktails, which I discovered from the Doughboys.
Oh, really?
Yes. Were they on. Yes. So it was Lauren Ash and Christy Oxborough, and they did the KFC episode, or one of the KFC episodes. And I loved them so much. I was like, these girls are awesome. And so I looked them up, and I had never even heard of Lauren Ash. I hadn't heard of Superstore, the show she was on. So I started watching Superstore, and I was like, oh my God. And so now I'm like a Patreon of their podcast.
I love it.
And I love them. They do this on their Patreon. They do a once a month brunch with their listeners. And it's a Zoom, and it's just like a live Zoom, and you can ask questions, and sometimes they'll have you join them and stuff. And they chat with us on the Patreon and everything. It's so cute.
That's so fun.
So awesome. Yeah. I love it. So that's a nice little crossover Doughboys.
Yeah. So this whole podcast came from me drawing a map that it was like West Wing Weekly got me to Gilmore Guys, got me to Jason Mantzoukas. Then how did this get made? And then from there, it was like Nicole Byer, Mitch, Nick, Doughboys, bloop, bloop. Like,
right.
For me, how did this get made is like the center.
Yep.
And then it's like all the, and then everybody's got TV shows. So then you got to watch like Black Monday and Nailed It. And,
and like all
these shows that people are doing.
Yep.
Tomorrow War, which I never would have watched if Mitch wasn't in it.
Right. Me neither. Exactly.
And I've, I'll only watch the first half.
I mean, I said the same thing. I'm like, well, I could probably turn it off after this, but you know, spoiler alert.
Yeah. So
it was fine.
All right. So what that one was called Cocktails in LA and.
Oh, True Crime and Cocktails.
True Crime and Cocktails.
True Crime and Cocktails. That's the one with Lauren Ash and her cousin Christy, which is adorable.
Nice.
And To Live and Die in LA. That's season two. That's one with that's an actually a pretty good one. What is her name? Elaine Park. She was killed. This was, I believe, in 2016. So this is like kind of crazy because the guy from Incubus is involved. Like they're trying to, it's like, it's all these like LA people. The guy who's doing the podcast, he's like this LA producer kind of guy. I forget what he is now. What his actual job is. I think he's a journalist or something.
Yeah.
Or a magazine writer. So he lives in this little area where there's kind of all these, you know, musician-y rich kind of people.
Yeah. And,
so his wife was friends with the guy from Incubus's wife.
Sure.
And then they're like, oh, did you hear about this girl who went missing? So they would always walk along the area where the girl was missing. So they just got involved in this, trying to figure out what happened to this girl.
Wow.
So he started like investigating this and put it on his podcast and blah, blah, blah. So we're still trying to, we're still going down the rabbit hole of that. So okay. I don't look anything up. I won't Google anything about it just so I can just be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to it.
So, I was kind of surprised that you were like, these are the only couple that I'm listening to right now. Are you, when it comes to a podcast, do you like binge a whole catalog at once of it?
Well, it depends when they come out. Like I've listened to, it's like right now, that's really the only one that's kind of current that I'm into. That's like right now. So they just go week to week.
Okay.
You can't binge this one. You just have to wait for it to come out. So that's usually how they do it with these. Like you just have to, you have to wait.
Right.
And they're just, there isn't really anything else going on that's kind of good right now. That's, but it just depends on when they get released each season, you know, but,
they do tend to, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
So when you think of a true crime podcast, do you prefer the ones where one season is following one case or where, because there's also like the Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered one where don't they like joke about different murders every week?
I don't really know. I can't get into them. I listen to a couple, but it's not really, I just, I always try and then I always delete it. Like I just never, I never get into them.
Okay.
But I prefer like one case that you have to, you know, for the whole season that you focus on that one thing.
Okay.
One of the best ones is The Australian does a podcast. Hedley Thomas is the name of the guy that does it. And he's got this wonderful, oh, it is. And it's a wonderful accent. It's fun to listen to. But they did The Teacher's Pet was the name of it. It was really popular. And The Night Driver is season two. So those are the my top rated true crime podcasts.
Okay. And so what is the kernel of the crime in each of them? I mean, The Teacher's Pet seems so, either a teacher dies or a student dies.
Yeah. So it's basically about this woman who was killed many years ago. And they're trying to figure out, you know, who did it. There's, I don't want to spoil anything if you guys want to listen to it, but it's just a great storytelling. It can be frustrating because a lot of times you're kind of like, okay, you kind of have an idea of what happened, but they're not prosecuting or, you know, it's one of those kind of frustrating things where they're, they just don't have enough evidence or all of that stuff. But, with The Teacher's Pet, they actually, did end up arresting somebody after the pod. Yeah. So that was good. And then the second one to that is called The Night Driver, which is same thing, you know, people getting abducted and trying to figure out who is where. And it's like a small town in, I believe that one was New Zealand, but like really small local community. So the voices are great. The accents are great. It's just fun. It's a fun to listen to. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's kind of disturbing, but it's also, it's entertainment and it's not sensationalized. It's a great storytelling.
Yeah. So I'm curious because if I remember correctly, when Serial came out, like they set the stage for the true crime podcast and what it could be, but they also were recording in real time, doing research in real time and having their product, having their content impacted by internet sleuths, by people stepping forward, that it was very much like a live case as it went on. Mm-hmm. Are these other ones like all in the bag before they start releasing them?
No, some of them are very much just like that. Like that was like the teacher's pet one.
Okay.
That was, you know, they were still doing things right up until the end of the podcast. They were still looking into leads and things like that. So they were, a lot of times when they end up doing the podcast, it's to try to bring awareness and to try to get people out of the woodwork so they can say, oh, I remember, you know, that lady wore a green dress that night. Like, so they're trying to like renew interest in the case and try to get some try to get some convictions or, you know, whatever, try to get the suspects.
All right.
Yeah.
So those are two, those are your faves from the Australian.
Yes. Those are
awesome. What are some other ones that you think that really work for you?
I would definitely recommend Someone Knows Something, which is a, the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Yep.
They're also, he's great. David Ridgen is the narrator and the host for that. And he's awesome too. He's like very soothing, awesome Canadian accents in that one.
Yeah.
Just fun to listen to. But like, he's just, he's such a nice guy. He's really trying to help the family. Same thing with the guy, the Australian guy. They're really, you know, they're working for the families and really trying to help these people. They're not exploiting them, you know?
That's, that for me is the reason why I can't, whatever the Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered one is. We, in my family, we had a horrific murder. And I am always afraid that if I tune into like a case of the week where they're not working with the family and it's just, because sometimes it's just like somebody calls in with a story of like the wild murder in their hometown. Well, I know for the people of this particular town in Arkansas, like it's our family's murder. So I like, I like that these, the ones that you're describing are ones are where the family's not, it's not going viral and the family's finding out.
Right. It's very respectful. I can't stand when they exploit people or they're trying to do it just for the, you know, just for the entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
But the ones that are good are the ones that they truly care and they're trying to help these families.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so far, not Americans.
Nope. Nope. Australian and Canadian. They're nice. They're nice people. let me see. What else do I have written down? What will shake my, Criminal is kind of fun. Have you ever heard of that one? Criminal?
That one I think I have heard of.
Phoebe Judge is the host of that. And it's not just murder, but it's like kind of just different stories of, you know, criminal things that happen.
Yeah.
Not always a murder, but they're interesting stories. They're just, it's more of like that type of thing, like a story, you know, that intrigues you right away. That's not like a sensationalized thing, but that's kind of fun. And her voice is very soothing. I have a thing with voices.
Yeah. Well, no, you do. You want to have people that are good company.
Yeah.
That make the drive easier. Absolutely.
And that's why I really like the True Crime and Cocktails ladies, because it's not just about the case that they're describing. It's kind of about their relationship and, you know, their whole feeling like part of the friend group kind of thing. They talk about their childhood and just kind of shoot the shit, you know, that type of thing.
Nice.
And then they do bring interesting stories. Like they did Marilyn Monroe last week and they found out a lot of things that I had no idea that they just, cause they just do a ton of research into the whole case and try to figure out all the details. And so they'll do a lot of kind of famous type of murders.
Yeah.
Or deaths, famous deaths, and kind of dig into it.
Now, but, what about, did you ever listen to Dear John?
Dear John. It sounds, I think I did. Dirty John?
Dirty John, yes.
Yes, Dirty, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Did you listen to that one?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Did you want to kill the woman? I mean, I wanted to strangle her so hard for staying with that man.
Yeah.
Like you just like everything is like, you're like, it's disbelief listening. Yeah.
He wore scrubs, therefore he was a doctor.
Oh, that was maddening. It was such a maddening story.
Yeah.
And like, so unbelievable how it ended.
That was one in that kind of final parking lot scene.
Yes.
Where I was like, okay, they have interviewed all of these women. You've already heard their voices, therefore they are alive to tell the story.
Right.
But it was horrific.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that was a tough one. Some of them, I mean, I'll try some, but a lot of them I just can't listen to. Like, you'll just have to take, you know, with like the children murders and things like that. And like the terrible, awful, gross stories. I can't do that. Some of them are just too much, but it's more, I think, about the storytelling and trying to figure out the mystery more than the macabre, you know. It's more about the mystery, I think, and trying to figure out the facts.
Yeah. So you said it had been 6 or 7 years since you had listened to music in your car?
Probably. Ever since I started doing home care, I've just been on the podcast train since like 2009 or 10 or something, since they started coming out.
What were some of your early listens or shows that, so not necessarily true crime, but what were...
Right. Early podcasts. I listened to Mark Maron. He was one of the first ones. Adam Carolla, I'm embarrassed to say. He was...
Yeah. I was just talking about him at brunch on... breakfast on Sunday. Because I listened to Loveline, like the radio show, for years.
Because
it was so good to go to sleep to. Like in the late 90s, early aughts.
Yep.
And we were at a restaurant and their smoke alarm was beeping. The battery needed to be changed. And I don't know if you ever listened to Loveline.
Oh, yeah.
But when somebody would call in and Adam would hear their smoke alarm go off and he would stop them and was like, everybody just be quiet. And so I do not think you have to be embarrassed to have listened to Adam Carolla because he was a big part of my 20s.
Yeah. I listened to the radio show when he had his KLSX show back in 2006. That's where I started listening to him. I listened to Loveline a little bit before, but not a lot.
Yeah.
The Man Show. So, you know, that I was aware of that, but I really started kind of becoming a fan with that KLSX show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that kind of faded over the years, but I stayed with him until he had the podcast and then maybe a couple of years after that. And then things became a little.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah. I don't know that I listen. I mean, I haven't listened to like new Adam Carolla in years, so
I don't think it's good.
Yeah, I feel like the risk that he's gone down a Joe Rogan path.
Right.
You know, I think it's high.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Dr. Drew basically went down a Joe Rogan path.
Yeah, I was kind of sad to see that transition. That was a strange transition for him to take.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of more normal.
Yeah. Yeah, he really got seduced by like celebrity.
Yeah, it must be it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did one year have he spoke at the college I worked at in Colorado, and I got a picture with him, and then that was my Christmas card the next year. It was like, Merry Christmas from Leah and Dr. Drew.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So what is it about podcasts for you that make them the right way to commute across southeastern Massachusetts?
I don't know. I just like, I've just been, it's entertainment. I feel like it's probably just entertainment, and it feels like it's your, you have friends with you in the car.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I guess, part of a community, part of a, I don't know. You just, you feel like you become friends with these people you listen to every week.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
The camaraderie, the, and then, you know, of course you have to talk about the podcast. So it's like, you know, you have that whole social aspect of like, did you hear this today? You know, which is fun too.
Are you, so we're in a couple groups together. And podcast groups are like one of the last reasons I'm on Facebook. And I actually, I just retired my admin privileges of a group I started, which was the Armchair Expert group. It was up around 7,000-8,000 people.
Wow.
And once he moved to Spotify, I was like, I know I'm not going to like make the, it's too much work for me.
Yeah.
To go to Spotify. And so I bowed out of that community as an admin. What are some of the other, so I guess what I'm really asking is, Do your in-person friends get your like podcast conversation, or is it podcast groups and fandoms?
Yeah, I don't really I don't really share too many like real life friends that like podcasts. My brother-in-law, I got him into it because he also does home care and drives around all day. So I give him all my recommendations.
Nice.
And then he started getting into, but he listens to a lot of sports stuff and random things like that. But it's mostly the online, I would say, the online community that goes along with the podcast groups. I don't really have any friends who like the Doughboys or like, you know, stuff like that, that I can talk to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. The Why Won't You Date Me? I was able, a friend, like, at least in theory, was going to go with me to that show. And then she had to bail. Like Nicole Byer, I can get my real life friends to go with me.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody loves Nicole Byer. She's awesome.
But How Did This Get Made? I've just gone by myself and I anticipate Doughboys. I'll be with the Dough Scored.
Absolutely.
You know, but like that has been a hard one to explain to my friends.
Yeah.
Watch this be the first episode that Nick or Mitch ever listens to of my podcast. And he'll be like, those ladies seem so nice on the court, on Dose Cord, but they're like, we can't explain it to anyone.
Yeah, I think it's just, once you get into it, you get into it. So it takes something for it to click.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. My sister, she went back and listened to like episodes of places she's gone.
Oh, that's cool.
And she lives near the town where Steak and Shake was originated. And so she got to the Meltdown episode before I did. And I was like, and then she was like, oh yeah, I listened to like all the Steak and Shakes back to back. And I was like, oh, one of them is like a famous episode, but I don't know why. And then I finally listened to it and I could
was
see
it the blow up. Was
it's that the blow up. Up. Yeah.
Okay. Not the right. Gotcha. And then I was kind of like you, where I started doing like the Comedy Bang Bang and like all the adjacent comedy people that I didn't like, I knew about, but I wasn't really into before, but I love Jason Mantzoukas. So I start like, cause then I was watching The Good Place and it sends you on all these tangents.
Did you listen to the Good Place podcast?
No.
So Mark Evan Jackson, who plays, who's the head demon?
Oh, Ted Danson?
No. Oh, no. Ted Danson's boss.
Oh, I forget his name. I know who you're talking about, but I forget his name.
So he's also plays Sergeant Holt's husband on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So Mark Evan Jackson, but he like his career started in public radio. So he has this amazing radio voice, and he did a Good Place podcast where he interviews, they do one episode per show.
Oh,
and he interviews like set decorators, actors, writers. Joe Mandy's on it a few times. Jen Sackett or Morgan Sackett, Jen, you know, Mike Shore is on it. Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to listen to it.
And Jason's on it a couple times. And then one of the episode Jason's hosts so that Mark can be the guest.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a nice listen.
I'll put that on my list.
Yeah.
And Hamilton, of course. I'm obsessed with Hamilton, so I have to listen to all my Hamilton podcasts. And your past guest, Huell Hauser.
Yes.
Listen to his podcast, Who Does a Podcast, and that has sadly come to an end.
Yeah, with their re-ranking.
Yes. Yes. Re-rank.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the other Hamilton podcasts out there?
There's one that's kind of like the official unofficial podcast mm-hmm. with Jillian Anderson. No, Jillian somebody. Jillian starts with a P. I'll send it to you. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But she does like, she interviews all the cast, the crew. It's Jillian something. And
Hamilton. No.
Yeah. She does. No.
The Hamilcast. Jillian
Penceval. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's her. I knew it was with a P. And she also does a true crime podcast as well.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she has a side one she does that's a true crime. But nice. I tried to listen to that and I could not listen to that.
Yeah.
But I like her Hamilton podcast. It's pretty good. She has all the different people on it. You know, the set designers and like you were describing, mm-hmm. like people that made it, the cast, all kinds of people, which is cool.
Oh, wow. 275 episodes.
Yeah, it's wicked
old. Okay.
Not old, but it's like she like kind of blew up. She started the podcast. It was like, you know, because she was just a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it literally blew up. She had Lin-Manuel. She interviewed him like at the beginning when this was kind of just starting to, when Hamilton yeah. was starting to blow up. And he actually, you know, she recorded with him in her apartment or something like that in New York, which is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, that's cool. She's got a lot of great interviews on there with Chris Jackson, all the original cast members, with Lin himself. Really, I just kind of pick and chose from the older stuff that she yeah. has.
But. Yeah. September 7th, 2017, mm-hmm. he came to her house. Four-hour cool record.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I'm trying to think if I had... I don't know if I had seen it by then. I don't think I had.
Have you seen... You've seen it in New York?
I have.
Awesome.
I saw... So they did a sit-down production in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably saw it... Let me just say, Hamilton was my primary hobby for like 2.5 years.
Oh.
So, and I'm single and I don't have children. So let me just say all of that. So I saw the Chicago cast probably 5 or 6 times. I saw the original Broadway cast.
That's awesome.
And the only one I never saw was David Diggs. Ugh. It was his understudy the two nights I saw it.
Oh, wow.
Because he stayed in the cast a little bit longer than a lot of the original cast.
Uh-huh.
But I still missed him. So I've seen it in New York twice, Chicago maybe 5 times, and I went and I saw the London cast.
Oh, my God. That yeah. must have been so cool.
It was so cool. Oh. When the theater they have it in London, they renovated... like they didn't just do one show to the next, like they shut the whole theater down. I think it's in the Victoria Theater, and they mm-hmm. renovated it, all new seats, gave a little wow. bit more knee room to the rows, mm-hmm. fixed up the bathrooms, put in some half bat, like
wow,
it was an amazing experience in London, like one of the most so comfortable cool. theater experiences I've ever had.
Uh-huh. So cool.
So
is
cool.
that the same theater where they showed the Harry Potter the Cursed Child?
I don't
wonder
know.
Cause we went to London in
yeah.
2019, and we took a tour around, and you know, we were there for a week, and they were showing The Cursed Child at that time, and it was a really beautiful theater that they had it in. So I don't know if it was the same.
The Victoria Palace is where it was.
That's cool. London is beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
It was so fun to walk around. We were there in the springtime, so everything was blooming. There were flowers everywhere. It was it was really cool. Didn't rain the whole time.
Which was perfect. Nice. Perfect. It was really it is returning to the West End in October. It'll be at the Palace Theater.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have to go.
Yeah.
Book the trip to London. Let's do it.
You know, I have to prioritize Doughboys in Boston, Broadway, West End productions in London.
I used to do a lot of plays when I was younger, I remember going to see Hair when I was like 17 in high school. Like they had local production at our local theater. Whatever was showing, me and like three of my dorky drama friends would be like, we would just go watch a play, you know? Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
And I want to go to see Blue Man Group. We were supposed to go last year, but then COVID.
Yeah.
That's a fun show.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
We saw them. My dad had seen them on TV. And so when I was 16, which would have been in like 1992, we mm-hmm. saw them when they were, it was still like the original three guys off Broadway. Mm-hmm. But they've got a Chicago production that's been on for probably 20 years.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And yeah. Same as Boston. They do the Charles Playhouse for 20, 25 years or something.
And it keeps growing and expanding. And it was so cool. Two of the things they did during that, one is like, there were like all thousands of black marbles like rushed off the stage. So like my dad still has like a cup of black marbles that we just scooped up and put in our pockets. And then the show ended with like, there was this like toilet paper from the stage to the balcony back and forth. And then they were spinning it around.
Right, right,
right.
And
I turned around to look at it and it went woo. And then it just took my glasses.
Oh, no.
And we were not a family that could afford a new pair of glasses on a New York vacation. But like somebody a few rows back caught them and like passed them up and I got my glasses back. But it was such woo, and just gone.
That is so funny. What a story. Yeah, that is such a fun experience. Show is so fun.
Yeah.
Love that.
And then when Hamilton came to Chicago, you know, they get the first stab at it. You got season tickets to Broadway in Chicago. And then I went from being someone who always meant to go to a show to actually going to shows. And I was like, Hamilton really gave me the gift of returning to the theater to see musicals, and I loved it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I saw, when I was in high school, I saw Les Miserables on Broadway, and that was so awesome. It was a drama club trip from my high school. So we took the bus down to New York City and we saw Les Miserables, and it literally, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing on earth. You know, just to see a Broadway show is like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it was such an amazing experience, and I wish it was more affordable so more people could do it.
Yeah, it's really gotten so expensive.
It's just, you know, it's such a wonderful experience, and it shouldn't be something that's, you know, unobtainable for so many people, you know. That's why that was so great with Hamilton coming on TV, and then people could experience that for the first time, you know, that feeling.
It was, I wish also more productions, even if they have short runs, would be willing to put in the money to do that level of filming.
Right.
Because you can get a second audience and then you're building future audiences.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
A great show that I saw a couple times. A friend, I have an episode about it because my friend William was obsessed. It was called, what was it called? It was The Great Comet, Natasha and Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Huh. And it is a sliver of a story from War and Peace. It's like a 20-page story.
Uh-huh.
Turned into like a 2-hour rock opera spectacular.
Oh, wow.
That is an immersive. There are seats on the stage. They like built the stage. They built like catwalks out into the theater.
That's awesome.
So, and it was, I saw it with Josh Groban as the lead. And then with Oak, who played Madison. And
yeah.
And he was phenomenal.
Love him.
Oh, he was so good.
Oh, how cool to see him. Yeah. Oh my God. He's one of my favorite parts of Hamilton. He had the best, line of the whole play, as far as I'm concerned.
Which line would that be?
Well, his whole, you know, when he comes out when he does his whole Hercules Mulligan thing, that whole phrase in the middle is just the best. The best. It gives me chills every time. I love it.
He's so fantastic.
Oh my God.
So charismatic.
Ugh.
And I think he's on like a medical procedural now or something.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'll have to look it up. I'm not sure.
They all got TV shows, well-deserved TV shows.
Right. I love it. I do. I love seeing them succeed like that. They deserve it so much.
When I think of like friend groups that exist that I wish I could parachute into and be a part of, the Hamilton original Broadway cast is a friend group I just think would be like, what a tribe.
I agree wholeheartedly. I would want to be on that group chat.
Yes. Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I think they just seem so fun and loving, and they're supporting each other.
Right.
And then like Lynn got to become friends with Weird Al, which I was very envious of. I'm like,
Weird Al's awesome.
He's awesome. He's got a great interview on Conan O'Brien this week.
Oh, really?
Conan O'Brien loves Weird Al. It's so good. So good.
Yeah, he's like a childhood, you know, you loved him. My brother and I would just listen to him. What was it? He was on Dr. Demento. Mm-hmm. This was like way back in the day, like on the radio. I can remember listening to him like when I was in probably middle school or something, you know.
We did too. We would like do, I don't even know if we would actually make videos of our videos. Of our music videos we would make to Weird Al songs, but we did a very in-depth recreation of the one about Charles and Diana getting married.
I don't know that one.
Uh-oh. I have to fact check myself.
You're going to have to Google that one.
Weird Al, Charles, Diana. The Buckingham Blues.
It's not ringing a bell. I'm going to have to play it after.
Yeah. Buckingham Blues, Happy Birthday. Like that first album was so wild.
He's so funny. He's such a wackadoo. I love him.
He's fantastic. I've seen him twice in concert. Again, I go alone, once in San Francisco. I went alone and I saw him at some theater that was like famous for like Jimi Hendrix played there, and
the Independent,
maybe, like might just be. Like in San Francisco proper, a theater, like an old timey theater with like no seats in it, with balconies, but like a small balcony.
Okay,
I was 19. Again, broke my glasses.
Oh. You have bad luck with glasses at shows.
He was trying to throw me his boxer shorts.
Oh my God.
At the end of One More Minute. And a kid, like maybe like a 16-year-old boy, like jumped up and grabbed him and came down and hit me with his elbow.
Oh my God. Wait a second. Was he throwing you his shorts on purpose?
I think he threw
specifically.
I felt like it was clearly to me. Weird Al and I had a moment. It's before he met his wife.
Was he wearing pants?
He was. It was just like every night he pulled his boxers out of like a pocket.
From under the pants.
Yeah. The pants stayed on, but he pulled out like red heart boxers and like throws them out into the crowd. Like it was a well choreographed but meaningful.
That is funny.
Interaction. Me and Weird Al.
I can't believe that kid stole your shorts.
Stole my shorts. And the love of my life.
Broke your glasses. Oh my God. You should email that to Weird Al and see if he'll send you some shorts.
Yeah.
Send you some boxers. And sign them.
Yes. Yeah. That's the piece of Hamilton of which I am most envious. I'm like, are you telling me all I have to do to meet Weird Al is write a Tony Award winning, Grammy winning, Oscar winning, or Emmy winning musical? That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, they're Emmy nominated.
Emmy
which
nominated.
Is kind of strange for a play that was on a movie, but I guess whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Oscar is the only thing they're not.
I don't know if it's even how they class. Maybe it's just what they classify it as,
yeah.
Like a special or something like that.
Yeah, I guess
I don't
he would
know
be,
how it works.
He'll probably get nominated for In the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I have not seen that yet, but I would like to see it.
I haven't either. I meant to, but I didn't.
Yep, same.
As we start to wind down, what are other podcasts that keep you company?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's definitely, I've been trying to listen to a lot of lighthearted things lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sprinkling in the true crime if there's something good that pops up. But of course, the Doughboys, I listen to faithfully every week. That's probably my most listened to. And I've been trying to go back and mm-hmm. listen to the old ones. So if I have like a lull in the current stuff that's coming out, then I've been going back and listening to old stuff of the Doughboys. So I haven't really been listening to a heck of a lot of new stuff lately.
Are you a repeat? Will you listen to an episode again?
I will, because I forget it as soon as I listen to it. Mm-hmm. So
you suffer from podcast amnesia?
A lot. Because a lot of times if I'm, you know, you're distracted half the time you're listening. So it just depends on my level of engagement of the first listening. But depending on what I want to listen to or if I miss a lot of stuff, I'll go back. Do you do that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. I re-listen. Especially sometimes people will be saying things in the Doughboys and I'm like, I know I listened to that episode. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I find that a lot too. And I'm like, I guess I just missed the entire thing because I have no idea. That's so much conversation. There's always things going on. I try to keep up. I love chatting. So I love knowing all the conversations mm-hmm. and I love kind of keeping up with people and the pets and everything.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite channels and my favorite thing about the Doughboys, all those pets that we get to see every day.
It's such a good channel. They're such good boys and girls, those little pets.
Love it.
I met Blake BZ. Mm-hmm.
Yes, how wonderful is that?
It was so fun.
So that means you and I have both had drinks with the same person.
Yes. Yeah, it was. We went to a bar like a block away from my apartment, it's called a hotel when you're out of town. And it was just really funny because I was like, I haven't, it's been so long since I've like met a stranger on purpose.
Right.
And I was like, I Let's see if we remember how to talk to each other. I don't know.
Really? We're all having to relearn how to be social again, because things are weird. Like, and things have been so different for everybody during this whole thing. Some people have been working out of the house the whole time. Some people have not. Like, you know, it's just everyone's had such a weird COVID experience and a different COVID experience. Yeah. And I'm kind of finding that too, where it's like you're just trying to like navigate the social waters again. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, it's like, oh, now I have to see the moms at school. So that was a good thing about COVID. You didn't necessarily have to navigate the playground moms, like, right, you know, things like that, where it's, you try to avoid that. So I'm like, oh God, now I got to deal with that awkwardness. Mm-hmm. And just, I don't know. I love meeting strangers. I love meeting new people. Yeah. I love talking to people, but I don't know. This is a small town, so it's a lot of like, you know, it's a lot of that mom stuff going on. So I don't like to participate in any of that stuff. So I like, it's so fun to talk to people that you actually have things in common with. And that's where you find people like that is on the internet usually. So
absolutely,
you know, you just, and then that's great when sometimes the internet people can bleed over to real life and you have that, you know, you have that connection, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I have my two main social groups in Chicago are like OG Twitter. So like the people I met and through blogging in Chicago and early Chicago Twitter, because it was just like, well, we all use this same weird website in 2007, 2008, 2009. And so we just do meetups and like everyone would go and there were like 50 of us. Mm-hmm. And of that, there's like a dozen people who are very dear, close, not daily friends, but like people I see often.
That's awesome.
And then like my other main social group is like synagogue related. Mm-hmm. So that's like a very in-person community. Right. I absolutely love meeting people from the internet and from there's a lot of power in like building, and I still think there is a lot of good to be had because you can build like a virtual cul-de-sac, like who are the families you wish you lived by,
right,
and have those relationships. Yeah,
right, absolutely. And you know, you're talking to people all over the country, all over the world, you know, you're talking to and learning things about other people's cultures that you wouldn't normally learn about. And I love that. I love the internet and I love the access that you can get from it.
Yeah. Awesome. So Beth, before we hit record, we were talking about my episode last week, which was candy. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when you're trick-or-treating, what is the candy you are most excited to get for Halloween and what is the candy you are least excited to get?
Okay, it's a tie for the best candy, which is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Snickers. Mm-hmm. Those were the gold standard. And if you got the full size, you were golden. So full size Snickers, full size Peanut Butter Cups. Mm-hmm. I'd have to give Peanut Butter Cups a slight edge over the Snickers.
Yeah.
But they're both amazing. And the least favorite, anything hot. I hate like hot tamales or any like hot balls. What are those hot fireballs? Atomic fireballs. Oh my God. I hated those things. I can't eat those. Anything spicy. Mm-hmm. My husband had hot tamales the other day and I was like, oh, I can't eat those. But I love Swedish fish. So I like the sweet, chewy stuff, but not the hot.
Yeah, I'm with you on the tube top chocolates, like Snickers, absolutely, Reese's cups. I do like hot tamales. Less as the years go on, I am finding that my spice tolerance is dropping. Mm-hmm. So now I'll buy a box of Mike and Ike's and a box of hot tamales and like make a mix. Because I can't handle pure hot
tamales.
That's right.
You talked about hot tamales last week. That's right. I remember that now.
Well, because they're so good. I think spicy candy is good for driving.
Yes.
Because it keeps you awake.
Right. I like coffee for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm such a weird snacker. Like I love like the salty sweet combo. So I have to get like combos or chips. Like I like the cracker, cheddar cheese cracker combos for a driving snack, and Swedish fish. So the combination of those two things, like they're not too like, they don't get all over your hands, but you can scratch the itch of the salty sweet.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love getting combos. I will often get combos. They're way more satisfying than like a bag of Chex Mix, which is all air. There's nothing actually in that bag. So I find that combos are like a little more honest about what you're going to get. and you can almost always say the filling has some protein in it.
That's true.
You know?
So there's they're fun to eat. You can suck out the middle. Yes. It's fun to eat.
Combos, coffee. You know, now that I'm in my 40s, I do try to get like force myself to like grab a big bottle of water because coffee goes down so much easier than water does in the car.
I know. It's so hard. It's so hard to do the things that we should do for ourselves every day.
Yeah, but that's why I have, this is my water cup.
Nice.
And I try to have a couple of those a day.
That's a good thing to do if you're home. Like you can just fill up one of those water bottles. I've been forgetting to, I should take it with me every day, but I always forget. I'm running late in the morning. Like, oh, I forgot to bring my water bottle. So I'll either go and buy a bottle of water or I'll get a nice coffee you know, so.
Right. Well, because after you drink the coffee, the ice is water.
Exactly.
good call. I don't ever rationalize this. Why do you ask? Well, Beth, this was so fun.
It was fun to talk to you.
Do you have anything you want to promote? Do you want people to find you on the internet?
I have nothing to promote. I don't do anything. You know, I'm not an online person except for my little friend groups that I have. I don't really have any, you know, I'm not like a out there internet person.
Okay.
But you can find me on the Doscord for sure.
Yes. Awesome. People will find you on the Doscord and they will come and eat crab cakes at Turks.
At Turks. Everybody come to Mattapoisett and eat at Turks. Yes. Fabulous. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.